Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Modern.
And welcome back to Masters of Modern. I'm your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Ben Bateman.
What's up, everybody?
Today we have the awesome Ruben Bressler on Skype. How's it going, Ruben?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good.
Doing excellent. Thank you for asking.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to being on the show finally. We've tried to do this before a couple times, and this is the first time it's actually come together.
I know. You even, like, stayed at my apartment at the end of, I think, one of the SCGs, and just, like, your ride left way too early.
My ride was going to leave me. Yeah. The one time that I live in Las Vegas, and the one time that I actually decided to carpool instead of just drive myself, my ride was like, yep, we're leaving.
It's like the nature of Magic tournaments, right?
While I was waiting at Alex's job, like I was just hanging out in his lobby, and they were like, yep, we're going to go. No, all right.
It's brutal.
So for those guys who don't know who you are, why don't you explain who you are? Tell the world.
Sure. My name is Ruben Bressler. I'm better known as Mox Ruby on the interwebs. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter, and Facebook is a popular social media site as well.
Are you on Periscope yet?
I don't know what that is.
Don't worry about it.
So anyway, getting back to me, I am a Magic the Gathering and other card game broadcaster and commentator. I'm best known for my work with Star City Games and on the Open Series. I've also commentated for Card Titan, among other sites. I did one of the national team tournaments, the one that Neil Oliver won to get on the national team. I do Hearthstone commentary, and this summer I'm working with 888 Poker, and I'm going to be the official blogger and reporter for the main event of the World Series. So basically, if it involves cards and trying to be smarter than your opponents for a living, I can talk about it.
Excellent. Speaking of poker, because I'm going to steal this segue, everyone's going to Vegas sometime soon. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. We're actually talking about Modern Masters spoilers released. We all now know what's in this set. There's, you know, some controversy, some positives, some negatives. So first, before we get into that, I do want to mention to yell at us on Twitter. Ruben already said his Twitter. The podcasters at the MMCast will literally respond to you, either negatively or positively, depending how nice you are.
Yeah, we get pretty into it. We're, like, super excited if you guys talk to us, and we'll just get right back to you. So it's great.
We're like puppies when you leave them at home, and you come there, and they're just, like, super excited to see you. That's our experience on Twitter.
Yeah, getting noticed on social media is great.
Right. So moving on. The spoilers are up. What are you guys' thoughts?
My first thoughts were like that they definitely went pretty top heavy with the mythics. There was a couple cards missing that didn't really make a whole lot of sense why they would be, but that ultimately the limited environment looks like it's going to be really, really awesome. That was like sort of my first thoughts.
I agree. I think that they balanced the limited environment. Now, the first Modern Masters was a great limited environment. It was a ton of fun. But
maybe
there were
the
also some real stinkers in the limited environment.
Right.
And some cards just never made it into decks. I can't really find a ton of real awful, always 15th pick cards. There's always going to be someone at the table, even if there's only like one out of eight people at the table that really wants Flare Husk or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
That one guy really wants it. So,
well, even,
you know,
and Flare Husk, I would say, I mean, like, not to nitpick on that one card, but I'd say like there are at least two deck archetypes that are looking for that card.
Yes, absolutely. And there are some stinkers. There are some cards that are going to have trouble getting into decks. Like not a ton of folks are going to want to play Alloy Mirror, for example. There's a couple of weird ones, but for the most part, I mean, I could see myself playing an Alloy Mirror if I'm really hurting for some color fixing, you know? So yeah. I think that everything is pretty neat, especially for the limited environment. I like what the set is doing.
Yeah.
From a card availability standpoint, however, I think they made some real misclicks on what cards are in this set.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's kind of been the general theme for the whole, like, of the reviews of the set is like, oh my god, this limited environment is awesome, but I don't think it's worth the $10 a pack they're asking for. And I think,
oh, it's definitely worth the $10 a pack.
Right. I do think part of that is comparing it to the first Modern Masters,
Right.
Where, like, that one was just, like, just because the uncommon slot in that was so filled with value, like, $7 uncommons, that people were a little bit more excited. And now all of the value is, like, very much weighted at Mythic.
Well, you can definitely look and you can say, okay, the big change between the first Modern Masters, we've talked about this ad nauseum already, but is that the Kamigawa Dragons were Mythics. That was, like, the biggest problem with the first set, is that from a cost-chasing perspective and from a competitive player perspective...
There was much bigger feel-bad moments.
If you opened a Mythic and it was, like, the blue dragon from Kamigawa, you were just like, that's the worst thing ever. Now, there are definitely some things in the set, some rares, where you're going to feel kind of the same way, but at least you're not opening a Mythic and feeling like, well, unless it's Comet Storm. But other than Comet Storm...
Right, exactly. I was going to say, Comet Storm is in this set. That's kind of a feel-bad. There's, like... a couple of the Metalcraft rares, there's like Battle Grace Angels in this set for some reason. Like there's some weird ones, but from a limited perspective, I think that all the rares make sense. You don't really need to make the epics make sense for a limited perspective. You don't have to have a theme. Like Bitter Blossom's in this set, and there's no fairy archetype this time around, but which is fine.
There is multiple token like archetypes, and that's kind of more than that. Yeah. But before we talking about Comet Storm, I kind of want to go through like the weird, the bad, and the ugly, or the good, the bad, and the ugly. And some of the bad, like there are some weird includes. Like I was talking to Josh Lee Kwai, who's on our sister podcast, and he's like heavily insulted that Daybreak Coronet is in the set without any other. I mean, like, he's like, oh, great, I opened value, but there's no auras in the set. There's one common aura, and it's the red one that gives haste.
Doesn't really make any sense. That was a full-on just, like, we're throwing you a bone because you guys need this card printing, which is annoying.
Agreed.
But then again, if you think about it, in standard environments, a lot of the time, they'll print some card, like...
it's not meant for limited.
Some card that's supposed to be a sideboard card. Like, for instance, when Stony Silence was in Innistrad, like... you'd open Stony Silence, and you'd be like, well, I'm never going to use this card in Limited. This will never make it into my sideboard in a game.
Right.
But
if they included Spider Umbra, like one of the Umbras at common, it becomes I can maybe play this in one out of five decks versus it's like literally unplayable in this format.
Sure. I think that they definitely could have had Spider Umbra and Hyena Umbra and Daybreak Coronet and called it a day. Like, just have those three. Because those are the Umbras that are played in that Boggles deck anyway.
Right.
So I think that they could have done that. But on the flip side, you know, if you got to kill your darlings sometimes.
Right.
You got to make all the other archetypes work. And so I think that's one of the things. But that is one of the highest value. The good news is that's one of the highest value epics that you can open. It's got new art. The only printing before this was from Future Sight.
Right.
They're ridiculously difficult to find and even more expensive.
I mean, Future Sight packs aren't expensive to buy, right? You can just buy a bunch of those and
open them. No, there's no value in Future Sight at all.
And then you mentioned Comet Storm. I mean, I think part of that is it's the one Mythic that's Mythic purely based off of limited reasons. Like, that card is nuts if you open it, so it can't really be at rare. And I think the other side of that is, in this window of time, there aren't that many good Mythics in red. Like, are they going to put Coffin?
I think you could have.
That's the kind of consideration that you would add. I mean, we put in Tezzeret the Seeker, which is a really weird one to me. And you can also put in, like, Urabrask.
Yeah.
So there are a couple other red cards that could have gotten considerations. I'm fine with having one Fireball at Mythic in a set like this, though.
Right. It's people are like... angry about this one, but I'm like, look at the rest of the Mythics and compare that to the last set where there was five dragons that are literally worth a dollar each.
I would have, I honestly, if you were going to print Comet Storm because it's not going to be worth anything, I think personally I would have printed Inferno Titan instead, just because you have already, there's another Titan in the set.
The problem with that is Inferno Titan's too good in Limited. It, like, if you remember when it was in the M sets and you were drafting it, it literally won you the game if you opened it.
Was better than all the other Titans. Like, we have Primeval Titan, and that's fine, because in Limited you don't have any bonkers
lands. What are you going to do, get your bounce lands back?
Yeah, exactly.
I suppose that's true.
So the good Mythics in terms of value in this set are Daybreak Coronet and anything that's has no colors.
Well, Daybreak is a rare.
Daybreak's a rare?
Yeah, Daybreak's a rare.
Mythic.
No. So
that's sweet.
Almost every Mythic is decent. Like, all of the gold ones. I mean, even Primeval Titan, which is probably the one that's been reprinted the most. But when you get to, like, the regular rares, you have Wiltleaf Liege, Full Mentor Mage, Spellskite, Noble Hierarch, and Splinter Twin. And then arguably, like, there's almost one in every color combination.
Cryptic Command.
That's worth money. Yeah, and Cryptic. Like, each color, if you look at it, almost has a cycle at Mythic and at rare, of value money.
One of the things that I think they did this time around that I thought was really, really smart, and I was happy to see them get outside of the box with this, was instead of feeling like they had to print a whole cycle, they broke cycles up. So it was really nice to see, you know, just Primeval Titan, Cryptic and Profane,
Elish Norn, right.
As opposed to wasting a bunch of slots for cards that ultimately, you know, they were fine when they got printed the first time. We just don't need them in this set.
Yeah, cycles are important for design, but not for drafting.
For the money rares, I was really happy that they filled out a couple of the rares that hadn't seen printings recently at all and were starting to spike in value and are pretty popular in various decks. Specifically, Noble Hierarch leads the list.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But then there's also Fulminator Mage, Daybreak Coronet, as we mentioned, Spellskite, Leyline of Sanctity is like $20.
Yeah,
it was 30. It's 20 now because it was reprinted. Yeah.
So it's, you know, that's going to be a tilt to open, but then you're going to be like, hey, $20 bill.
Right.
You know?
Right.
even the ones that you're upset that you're opening, like, there aren't a ton of Spellskites floating around.
Right.
Well, I've gone on record as saying Spellskite is quite possibly the best card in Modern. It's pretty much my favorite card that exists.
It's really
in Modern.
Good.
It's like so good. So the fact that card is now being made more available to players, I think, is a great thing, because I actually have like started many decks with just like four Spellskite, either in the main or the board, and then just go from there and figure it out. It fits into an alarming number of strategies.
I mean, there's definitely, and Spellskite's decent. Like, I would play Spellskite Unlimited. I'm not like super excited, but it definitely does cancels out their removal and blocks their aggressive creatures.
Right.
And it has four toughness.
And it's an artifact creature. And has Phyrexian Mana on it.
Could we all just like ask a real quick question, though? So, Ruben, I talk about that card a lot. I also talk about Grand Architect quite a bit. Now, something I thought was really interesting is that they didn't print Grand Architect in this.
That's actually in my list of bad cards. Glaring Omissions was Grand Architect. Mostly
no, but
as a joke.
It would fit. It would really fit with what they were doing. A lot of the cards that are printed here that were good at the time that Architect was in Standard are going to be good in this environment. Architect would have made a lot of sense.
Well, there's not really big artifacts you're playing.
That doesn't really matter. It's like it helps you cast the smaller ones, and he's a lord. He's just he fills that rare slot that I feel like. All right,
he's
maybe.
Not he would make sense here. I think the fact that there are so many, if we didn't have all the Eldrazis and instead had big Wormcoil Engines and Sundering Titans, he would make more sense.
True.
I certainly like him. You know, the archetype for Affinity and Metalcraft could use a lord.
But on
the flip side, you know, you gotta break a few eggs.
We get the cooler Metalcraft cards, like the one that was Mythic, the white one and the blue one. It's also like, stop trying to shoehorn Grand Architect in every deck you're playing and everything you're doing.
Like, all I want to do is cast Surikar Spellblade and then Vapor Snag your creature and draw a card. Like, nothing sounds sweeter to me than that.
That was actually one of my the weird includes is Surikar Spellblade.
Yeah, Surikar Spellblade is a weird one.
Like, no one wants that card.
No idea. I'm not sure that I knew what that card did. If you're not looking at the card right now, by the way, what's its creature type?
Surikar?
Yeah.
Yes, it's a Surikar.
Yeah. I had Surikar Tribal back in the Zendikar days. Don't you worry.
Did you? Was it four Surikar Spellblades and that's it?
No, there was the one that bounced something, and if you controlled a swamp, I think.
Here's the reason Surikar Spellblade is horrible in this limited environment. You're reprinting Electrolyze and Gutshot, and it's a 2-1. And it doesn't get +1/+1 when you play a spell. If it got like a +1/+1 counter and another counter when you played a spell, that'd be one thing.
Instead of getting charge counters, if it got +1/+1 counters.
I mean, I don't think the card would be unbalanced if you just made it get both. It gets a charge counter and a +1/+1 counter.
Yeah.
It costs three.
It's still dying to everything. It's still 2/1/3. Yeah. So I think that it's in the set because we do have Phyrexian Mana, so we can add charge counters to it the turn we play it. Yeah. And also we have Proliferate. So like there's a couple little neat things you can do, but at the end of the day, it's a 3-mana 2/1 that's going to get stonewalled by everything.
Right. I feel like there's just has to be slightly cooler things to do with Proliferate than Soraka's.
Absolutely, yeah. So I have a long list. Well, first of all, I have a long list of rares and mythics that they missed.
Oh yeah.
And I'm just going to run through them real quick because I just want to get them off my brain.
Okay.
Ajani Vengeant, Crucible of Worlds, Oriok Champion, Horizon Canopy, all of the filter lands, Damnation, Grove of the Burn Willows, Wrath of God, Oblivion Stone, Threads of Disloyalty, Door of Destinies, Bribery, Gaddock Teague, Shatterstorm, and all of the non-Elish Norn Praetors.
As well as Goblin Guide.
Oh, well, God, jeez.
Yeah, you missed Seer Ascendant, Scapeshift, Goblin Guide, Goryeo's Vengeance, Through the Breach, and Grand Architect.
Yeah, and Grand Architect. Now, the thing is that you can't put everything in.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you just can't. When I understand.
Right. What I was going to say is, like, when it comes to the Mythic slots, there's only 15 available. So, like, they're... I think they kind of knocked that one out of the park relatively, because you had to have the Eldrazi, apparently, which is fine because they're trying to set up the fall and reminding everyone who they are. Fine. There are so many rares that feel like there is huge misses on, and some of them feel like they're plants. Like, I feel like they can't not print Goblin Guide in September, October.
Yeah, like, I agree.
And there are some, and like, the more, yeah, but I mean, I think this list, like, why is all Sun's Dawn in the set and not Scapeshift?
Or why is Spike Shot Elder in the set and not Goblin Guide? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think unless they're reprint, like, some of these are like they're reprinting them soon.
Yeah, I mean, that there's a couple though that
that's why Thoughtseize and Mutavault aren't in, because they were reprinted recently.
Right.
So okay, those are the rares. Now let's talk about so you need rares, but let's talk about the cards that were just absolutely ridiculous, glaring common, uncommon omissions. The biggest ones that come to mind for me are Gitaxian Probe and Serum Visions. Those are like an Inquisition.
Serum Visions is on my list.
I think the big ones, and I have a list
Inquisition's
here.
Inquisition's a good one.
Serum Visions, Aven Mimeomancer, Inquisition of Kozilek, Spellshaper's Gift, the Merfolk. There's like a few of them. Might of Ulcrosa and Gitaxian Probe.
Wait, hang on, back up for a second. Spellshaper's Gift.
Yeah, it's the one white mana search for an equipment.
Oh, okay,
and it's like a $10 card, and they have an equipment theme in the set.
You also said Aven Mimeomancer. You mean Aven Mind Sensor?
I do mean Aven Mind Sensor. Sorry, not, I always say Mimeomancer, which is completely wrong. That is a 3/1. That is a.
It turns other things into 3/1s.
Yeah, I know. It's
that's
amazing.
A sweet card. If you play that in any deck where you play like Hierarch into that, and then the next turn Hierarch's a 3/1.
Right. Remember that with Proliferate, you can put the double.
Oh my god!
I just love it.
I don't think that works the way you want it.
No, it doesn't do anything. But you have two bird counters or feather counters.
The other one that they're missing is Urza Lands.
Yeah,
which would be horrible for a limited format. So I understand why they didn't do it, unless they put them at common, which would be awful.
Or they put it in every land slot, like the Masters set.
Yeah,
Masters 4.
If instead of like they did, like they just had a land slot that was either a bounce land or an Urza land or whatever rare lands there are, or Darksteel Citadel or something like that. But I think they're like all uncommon.
Yeah.
So you can't just put a fourth uncommon.
Right.
In the packs, I don't think. So, Mind Sensor is a huge glaring omission, and Serum Visions is just pretty in it. That's the biggest surprise to me is Serum Visions
right.
is missing.
So, like, Aven Mind Sensor can come out in Magic Origins. No problem.
Easy,
there's nothing about it. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if it does, because it's not in this set, as kind of a they're thinking that they're going to print all 10 fetches in the standard, and this will kind of put some play in the works.
Right.
So I can see that being reprinted. I also think the reason Inquisition of Kozilek is similar to Goblin Guide, it's coming this fall.
You think both of those?
I think Thoughtseize rotates out. Let's put Inquisition of Kozilek in. It's really cute, and it's easy, and it makes sense because Kozilek is on the set.
Kozilek is from that plane.
Yeah, he's an Eldrazi. So, like...
Yeah,
that's fair.
It makes sense when they don't print cards if you can look at a place that's coming. But when is Scry coming back? We just left a plane with Scry. It is already the mechanic that has been brought back the most. Scry's been brought back more than any other mechanic.
Scry's great.
But that means like they're gonna have to bring it back to reprint Serum Visions for a sixth time.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Like before we see Cycling again or Kicker or like good like buyback, which would be awesome, or flashback. Like there's so many mechanics I'd rather see than Scry.
Well, I keep saying this too. Gutshot, Mutagenic Growth, where is Gitaxian Probe?
Yeah, what's Tezzeret's the logic Gambit?
What's the logic between, like, I love Tezzeret's Gambit. I'm a huge fan
too.
Of that card. Like it's one of my favorite Magic cards, but I don't understand how you skip Gitaxian Probe.
So I think Gitaxian Probe got skipped because this set was finalized before it started seeing ubiquitous play in the format. Modern Masters 2 was basically finished by end of summer last year. So that was before Cons came out, and that was before Delve hit the scene. So Gitaxian Probe wasn't played nearly as much. That's another reason I think maybe Serum Visions wasn't printed. I think they were afraid they might have to ban it. I think they knew Delve was coming. I think they were afraid. Like, Birthing Pod's not on this list, and the only reason it's not is because they had it on its watch list for being banned. And I think they were like, maybe Delve won't be too good, and we'll just get rid of some of the good cantrips. And that's why none of the good peak is in here. Not peak. What's the one that lets you put one on top and one on the bottom?
Telling Time?
No, for one blue mana.
Oh, Sleight of Hand.
So yeah, Sleight of Hand's not on the set. Gitaxian Probe and Serum Visions, none of them. Yeah. And it might be because they were afraid that there might be complications in the future with one of those cards because of Delve. Because Delve just broke the Magic world all by itself.
It's sweet the Shadow Mage Infiltrator is back with like new art. That's like not a card that ever sees play in Modern, but that's like such a sweet card.
Did you see the art? Did you see the article by
Finkel?
By Finkel, yeah. Talking about the return of the card.
I'm super glad it's back, but the card's horrible. It's so funny.
He like talks about how like Bob Mayer just made a better card, and he's just like, remember that one card that I made? It's cute.
It's not good.
If it was a 1/4, it'd be playable if it was a 1/4.
Maybe.
It'd probably be playable if it was a 1/4. I mean,
Well, didn't it come out with Psychotog in the format?
Yeah. Well, yes. And the original reason why Psychotog started seeing play, actually, was because people didn't have copies of Shadow Mage Infiltrator to test with, like when the set first came out. So then they put Psychotog in as proxies, and then they realized they could just kill their opponents instead of drawing a card.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've heard that story.
Quick aside about a 1/4 that I'm paying attention to that's in the set. I've thought about this before. Necroskitter is kind of sweet. Like, there's like cool shenanigans you could probably do with Necroskitter.
Right.
There's enough cards that exist that put counters on things, and it's got 4 toughness. So I don't know. I mean, I'm just like noticing that. I'm like, huh, this is interesting.
Well, I was actually reading it, like Chaz, who we had on the show the other day, like his review of the set, and he mentioned like this was my pick as a sleeper for like casual circles, and then now that it's reprinted, it's like, well, now it's just not going to be worth anything ever.
Right. Yep.
They also didn't print any of the Infect stuff in Modern Masters too.
Well,
I think is fine. But it's also a little surprising just because of how popular that deck is.
Yeah, well, part of it, they mentioned, they actually tried, and it just didn't fit into the limited environment. They, like, actively tried putting it as the green-black architect, and it just, like, didn't work. And But the other side of that is, like, there are weird cards like Mightyvolt Crozza that where else are you going to reprint this card?
Right.
And
well, the good news is we get Vines of the Vastwood, which is a card that's
card's good.
Similar.
Yeah, it's very good and doesn't have, like, any printings at all. Among the other good reprints, there were some misses, but we got Remand, we got Electrolyze, Cranial Plating at Uncommon, which I think is necessary.
Yeah.
And then we also got Repeal, still at Common, which is great, plus Vines of the Vastwood. So we got some good money commons and uncommons, but not everything.
Well, so in that same article I mentioned, Chaz actually went and like compared the value of the high end commons and uncommons from Modern Masters 1 and Modern Masters 2. And
I'm sure it's not even close.
It's a $15 difference. In total it's like $30 for this one, and it was $45 for the previous one.
Well, you had Kitchen Finks,
right,
which was like $9 by itself.
Well, and Lightning Helix and Eternal Lightning Witness. Helix, and
do you guys find it interesting that they brought both Remand and Mana Leak in this set, but neither in the last?
Mana Leak wasn't available.
Last set?
Mana Leak wasn't in the sets that were in the window that they were releasing for Modern Masters 15. Mana
Leak go ahead.
Modern Masters 15 only included up to Shards of Alara, and Mana Leak didn't come out until M11.
Ah, okay.
So, but Mana Leak was in M11, and Lightning Bolt was in M10, and both of these sets. That's why Lightning Bolt also wasn't in the set. But gotcha. Spell Snare was. They kind of chose between the two counter spells they had available and printed Spell Snare, and now they're printing Remand.
And Leak.
But, like, Leak wasn't a $10 counter spell. Leak is like a 30-cent counter spell because it's been reprinted
so many
80
times. Interesting. Okay, let's kind of move into the limited environment a little bit.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
It looks awesome.
The last set was doing a lot of the things I like because I like graveyard shenanigans. This one's like all about, like they literally said beforehand, just like New World Order doesn't exist. Everything's on the board. There's going to be 80 tokens in play. You're going to have to deal with it.
I love it. I love the amount of Proliferate. I love how Proliferate interacts with both Planeswalkers and -1/-1 counters and charge counters.
Yeah, there are two archetypes that take advantage of it. There's blue-black Proliferate with -1 counters, and then there's blue-green.
Wait, blue-black what?
Proliferate.
Proliferate. It's easy for you to say.
and then blue green is Graft, which is which is the awesome Simic mechanic. Like they definitely, I like how a lot of like even green black and green white kind of blend over, where it's like tokens and then pumping them all, or tokens and I'm sacrificing them for value. It's definitely an awesome, the way that they balance each of the colors and how they kind of interact with each thing they're trying to do is really cool.
Oh, yeah. Swans is in the same set as Wildfire. I can just not even wait. I just can't even control myself. I can't even contain myself.
Yeah, the archetypes are – I love the way that they do the archetypes for these specialty sets, like – you know, Modern Masters is the best example, but there's, you know, even Tempest Remastered.
Oh, yeah.
And like some of the specialty sets where they're just trying Conspiracy is another good one, where they can put puzzles together out of pieces they have laying around to make something else, which I love. I think it's great. And the 10 archetypes this time around are, some of them are similar to last time.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of different ones. Yeah. Blue White is Affinity, but now we have Metalcraft, right? So we have like Rusted Relic in addition to our Glint Hawk Idols and our Somber Hover Guards.
It's much more about getting that threshold versus before, which was just getting as much as you can as quickly as possible.
Yeah, Core Homunculus Aetherium Sculptor, just kill you quickly, Affinity.
Right.
As opposed to Critical Mass Affinity, or Metalcraft, which is what we have now.
But we're still going to be able to pull off 3/4s.
Well, sure.
Why don't I go through each of the things and we'll comment on them. So first is Blue White. Next is green white, which is tokens, green white tokens.
Yep.
This is probably the other one that's most similar to the last set.
Right. Well, last set we had phthalates. Last set we had pallid mycoderms and phthalate shell dwellers and actual phthalate. We had that stuff.
Right.
This time they're like, all right, enough with the phthalates. We're just going to go whole hog on tokens. So now we got scatter the seeds. We have fortify. We got a bunch of Convoke things, and this one's a clear upgrade for me in terms of power level. I think green-white will be a lot better.
I mean, last time it was just you played green-white because you had good green-white cards, and you had just like some of the phthalates had decent bodies for how much they cost.
Yeah, if you had the 4/4 for 4 uncommon, right, and then the 4/4 for 5 common, like those guys were just good by themselves, and also gave you this bonus of having other phthalates. Yeah, it was just like just green white dudes most of the time that occasionally pooped out a 1/1.
Right.
Now you've got a million tokens.
Super stoked on Nest Invader and Kozilek's Predator. Like, I'm really excited those cards are back in Limited. Nest Invader is one of my favorite Limited cards that I can remember in a while. I mean, they were both really had their moments in Eldrazi.
Yeah, Nest Invader is great.
Well, that kind of brings us to what's interesting is red green has two archetypes attached to it. It has green-red Eldrazi, but it also has, like, green-red Domain in a weird, like, if you don't get the Eldrazi you need, you can also do this other thing.
Right, and that's the 11th archetype that was in the first Modern Masters and in this Modern Masters.
Right.
Like, last time we had Tromp the Domains, right, for our Domain decks, and this time we've got, like, Mokhtar Rioters.
Yeah, well, there's, like, a bunch of, like, the Phoenix that you need 5 colors of mana for.
Right.
There's like the Knight that you need 5 colors. There's...
Yeah, the Knight that turns into a dragon for 5 colors.
Right.
And everybody wants Rampant Growth, and everybody wants, you know, Skyreach Manta. Yeah,
you have Tribal Flames. They reprinted Expedition Map. Like, they're kind of on that train a little bit.
And what's interesting is they, like, in the last set, every single color had one of the basic land cyclers, but now only red-green kind of has access to those cards.
Right. Yeah, Traumatic Visions was like one of my favorite Magic cards ever, and it's not in this set, which is fine. you know, it counters a spell or gets a land. What's not to love about that card? So, but yeah, this time around, it's a little bit more focused in red and green, which I think is fine.
Yeah.
Because this time around, red green is ramp anyway. Like, we have the fiery fall, ramp and growth stuff. Last time, red green had like Suspend, I think, was their theme, or Storm.
They had red green, like Storm,
like Rift Elemental and a bunch of things that unsuspended,
and then so you could just like blue red green Storm.
Well, yeah, and then you just ended up playing all the arcane spells anyway from the blue stuff, but you know, like Rift Elemental was like their theme in the last Modern Masters. That's another one that's just very clear upgrade to this set, because red green's gonna have the easiest time casting their Ulamog's Crushers Artisans of Kozilek and whatever mythic you happen to open.
Crusher at common back in Eldrazi was like so absurd. Such a shenanigans card to have exist. Definitely sweet though, and very exciting to see it back. There's also just some old sort of fan favorites that exist that they printed that I'm just noticing as I'm going through. You know, Dimir Guildmage, cards like that you just haven't seen around in a long time. They just don't show up.
Well, that's
very
what
often.
They do. They like kind of bring, because they allow you to play these archetypes that are, you know, they give you these 10 archetypes. And then they also give you other cards that you can kind of slightly build around or be able to use if you want to play with those instead. Speaking of some of these fun uncommons, green-black, going from the green thing, that continue the Eldrazi. So, like, they've done a lot of cool things with the Eldrazi spawn, and green-black is all about sacrificing tokens. So you have all these cool little effects. And this is probably my favorite of the different draft things, just because I like doing
green,
these kind of things.
Things that sacrifice.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Brooding Sauron.
Right.
Bloodthrone Vampire. And Mortar Pod, too. You're going to have to fight over your Mortar Pods with the affinity and equipment people.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, Black-Green Sacrifice is a sweet archetype. And I'm sorry, but Dredge was horrible. Oh. Dredge was so bad.
Oh, it's the best.
Dredge and like the Raven's Crime Worm Harvest engine was just not good enough in the last Modern Masters.
You just needed to get be in the Domain version of the deck and have Noble Hierarch, Knight of the Reliquary, and just start swinging with 20/20 Knight of the Reliquaries. That was your mistake.
I'm pretty
all
stoked
along.
For Necrogenesis and Creekwood Liege in a deck of mine. Like just like
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Awesome. I like that.
Or like the blue-green mechanic for this is really interesting. It's using the ability Graft, which is kind of a weird middle point between Evolve. It's like reverse Evolve with reverse Outlast, where
right.
when a creature enters play, they actually get smaller. The creature that comes into play gets bigger. And it has like the Outlast mechanic of like lords that give all creatures with +1/+1 counters the same ability.
Right.
I always think it's really interesting when you see cards get reprinted that you remember as being houses in their day. The one that comes to mind on this subject is Cytoplast Rootkin, which mm-hmm. was like so good back in the day, but now it's been downgraded to uncommon. I mean, it's a 4/4 for 4 that does good things.
Right.
And it's uncommon now.
Well, part of that is to build these limited environments. Like, there aren't enough graft cards at common and uncommon to build the entire format. So you have to move some of the rares that like only really did stuff in those decks and aren't like powerhouses anywhere to uncommon to let those draft work. Really.
I think that card's got to be a very, very high pick. If you're going in that, archetype, it just seems insane.
I think even if you're not in that archetype, it's just good. It's just a 4/4 for 4 that can
right.
protect your guys and make them bigger. You know, you still got like Aquastrand Spider and Helium Squirter are both serviceable magic cards. Last time blue green didn't really hold together for me for a theme
in the last
Modern Masters. They had like suspend stuff also.
It was
right?
they had Errant Ephemeron.
Blue green was sort of the domain color, I guess, but like it didn't really hold together. Now there's a clear theme in blue green.
Well, it's cool because it also plays off of – so blue's bringing back Proliferate as kind of the main thing it's doing, which is
–
for those who don't know, it allows you to add a counter, an additional counter to any card that has a counter on it already. And
to any permanent or player
in
any zone.
Player,
and it's your choice.
No poison counters. Though. There is no infect in the set.
Yeah. Charge counters, true. Poison counters,
Planeswalker,
whatever.
Loyalty counters, anything.
What
so
have you.
It's really cool, and it works really well in the green blue decks because it helps with the graft creatures and keeps making them bigger so that you get additional triggers. But then it also works really well in the blue-black deck, which is focused on that mechanic. And it's all about putting little minus-minus counters on things.
It also has corner case scenarios with, like, Skyreach Manta. You know, there's a couple of other artifacts like Sphere of the Suns that have charge counters on them. So that the proliferate spells are going to find a home in every deck that they're in. But they're all if you don't get to utilize the proliferate, they're all really underpowered. Like Steady Progress is 3-mana draw card proliferate.
Right.
If you don't take advantage of that proliferate, you're
instant speed drawing for 3 is
way.
Not good.
Yes. You could Una's Grace and have it have retrace.
Right,
you know
but
what
if
I mean?
You got if you just have like a random etched oracle in play, you just gained a ton more value than you originally would have.
And also the black red archetype is Bloodthirst.
Right.
So they're gonna have +1/+1 counters,
right.
and your opponent's gonna have -1/-1 counters, and you're gonna have, you know, random charge tokens on your Surikar spell blades.
I've always been pretty curious about Steady Progress. Like that card is too weak in any capacity to be playable in Modern, actually, but like I've always wondered, like, are they going to eventually print some 2-drop that you could tap out for that is just very, very powerful the more counters it gets, where you could actually start to justify it? I mean, it's the same conversation you have with Tezzeret's Gambit, where you're like, if I can be drawing cards and also
gaining an entire card off of
something, I mean, it just doesn't exist yet.
Well, I think back when Scars of Mirrodin was out, Kibler wrote a whole article on Proliferate, and this card was like a main focus on it. And the point is like, this card is good if you're drawing an entire card's worth of value or more from the Proliferate ability.
Right.
And until that happens, it's not good.
Yeah.
It's the same. It's kind of. It's almost the same argument you make for Thrumming Bird, really, and it's because it's too.
The Thrumming Bird does damage, and you can put equipment on it in this set. So like,
I'm not saying for modern. Constructed modern as a card. I'm just noticing these cards getting thrown around the limited environment. You always wonder when you see them in Modern Masters. You're like, they have to, while designing this, think, well, we want these cards to be in players' hands and to be on their radar for like just having them.
Right. And Thrumming Bird is probably the most powerful proliferate card, I want to say.
Probably.
Other than maybe Tezzeret's Gambit.
Yeah.
And what's cool about that, I mean, like, I'm super excited about this. This is probably the other thing I'm really happy is back, is the proliferate mechanic. Because, like, Mark Rosewater, when he was making Scars of Mirrodin, originally, like, had his, like, both feet behind proliferate as a draft archetype, and development killed it. And that's why it was kind of just, like, mediocre, and blue was a mediocre color in general in that draft environment. And now we're finally going to get to see, like, how does this play when the format is meant and built around it being a playable mechanic.
Yeah, I mean, with Thrumming Bird, I do love the idea of playing it on turn two, laying like a Planeswalker for three.
Tumble Magnet.
Yeah.
It's back.
Yeah, that's my old standard. Loved it. So we'll move over quickly to Blue-Red Elementals, which is like pretty interesting, right?
Yeah.
It seems a little underpowered, but...
Get those incandescent soul stokes, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, think about this, all right? Last time, Blue-Red had Arcane, all right? We were dampened thoughtening people. Right. This time, at least, we have, like, Aether Snipe has a home, Incandescent Soulstoke's a thing, we have Blades of Velisvel to take advantage of whatever bonuses we have, Smoke Braider is a huge deal, so I think that, well, first of all, this is a huge upgrade over the last Blue-Red archetype,
right?
Because Arcane was stone unplayable, I'm a little excited.
Disagrees with you.
Well, I mean, he'll find a home with the eight drops.
right.
So my one question is this: where is Training Grounds in the set to pair with Soulbright Flamekin to get your turn three Ulamog's Crusher? That's what I want to know. That's all I've been wondering.
The unlimited manas.
You get eight mana on turn three with that combo.
I feel like it's too good.
Yeah, if you go for the Training Grounds Gambit. Oh, it just pays off immediately.
That's so sweet.
So next, I would say, is kind of speaking towards finishing the red countery stuff. Aggro, black-red aggro. You mentioned it. It's Bloodthirst. It's really just aggressive black-red, but because Bloodthirst is in the set and black is also about proliferating, you can just kind of gain a lot of value randomly from different cards you're playing.
Goblin Fire Slinger is going to be the most important common for that archetype.
Oh, yeah, it's able for sure.
To just get through blockers, which black-red oftentimes has problems with. That was one of the big problems with goblins in the last Modern Masters.
Right.
You know, they had, like, Face Vaulter, but you just, like, can't do anything with it.
You just get outclassed so quickly
and just get chumped by Thalid tokens.
In this archetype, just judging off of what you can see so far, how high of a pick do you think Ashenmoor Gouger is?
Oh, very. That card's way above the curve. I think that if you're in black-red, or even just mono-red or mono-black, both of which are possible, I think that card's really good. You know, four toughness on a three-drop, even if it can't block, is significantly higher above the curve than anything else anyone's doing until about turn four or five.
Right.
And by that point, you can start putting counters on that guy or... You know, do another. You know, I don't know, but
that whole cycle back from originally from Eventide, all the triple, the three cost, the hybrid guys, they were all really, really good.
Yeah,
yeah.
Whitleaf Cavaliers and what was Bulgart Ram Gang?
Right.
Yep. We got the Hearthfire Hobgoblin in this set, which reverse, we don't really get a great way to take advantage of other than equipment.
Well, but speaking of that, I mean that is his, like, the red white deck is equipment, and I feel like with the living.
Living weapons.
Like, you can play equipment in a way that normally doesn't work, and that's, I mean, why I love Living Weapon. But you can, like, pick them more than just, oh, I guess it'll be my 23rd card if I have enough creatures. Now it's like, oh, this is a creature that if it dies, I gain value from it, and that's where you get benefited with cards like the Goblin that has Double Strike and any of these, like, equipment themed cards.
I mean, they give Darksteel Axe. It's, you don't have Bone Splitter this time around, but it's like the same kind of deal,
right?
And you've still got like Sickle Slicer is a perfectly serviceable magic card. You know, Kite Sail is a perfectly serviceable magic card. But if you can draft around it and get your core duelists, I'm straining to think of other, like, creatures in this set that get better with the equipment.
There's Sky Hunter, Skirmisher is another double striker.
Yeah, the one
Sun Spear Shikari.
Oh, there's Bloodshot Trainee in this set.
Bloodshot Trainee is in the set. There's
Spikeshot Elder, which is one of the sweetest.
Spikeshot Elder is the big one, yeah.
There's definitely a lot of little cute things you can do with just having the equipment. And like beyond that, there's a lot of just the white metalcraft cards are going to, and like Tajnar Swordsmith, which lets you just kind of search your library for the equipment.
Like, Sunspear Shikari is another white guy that gets better when you have an equipment attached to it.
Core Duelist. So
you got a lot of a lot of good guys that get better. And Tajnar Swordsmith is like bad Stoneforge Mystic, right?
And then I guess lastly, I think it is the Black White Spirits, which is kind of playing, it's interesting because it's different than what it was in Innistrad block and what it would be with Innistrad, even though, you know, Lingering Souls can't be in this set, but it plays a lot of the Kamigawa spirits, which is a completely different type. It's not necessarily tokens, it's spirit tribal. So it's probably going to play more similar to the blue-red elemental deck than
very much so
than anything else.
It is really interesting.
You've also got changelings in this set. So you've got Ghostly Changeling that can help support either your elementals or your spirits.
Nameless Inversion.
Nameless Inversion is another good one. Blades of Elisvel. You've got Devouring Greed, which is like one of my favorite limited finishers of all time. You've got a couple guys with Soul Shift. Spectral Possession makes spirits. You don't have Lingering Souls, but you got Spectral Possession.
Kamigawa spirits are also not always flying, right? Or they're never flying. Kamigawa spirits are colorless on the ground.
Yeah, some of them fly. Like the blank guy, the legend flies.
Okay.
Something on that point, I like more in this set. Yeah, he flies. I think one of the problems with the last M15, or sorry, not M15, Modern Masters, was it was a little too reliant on tribal. There was like five different, maybe six.
Giants,
goblins, fairies, rebels.
Rebels, giants, thalids, fairies, goblins. I think that's it.
If we're missing one, tweet at us and we'll.
So that's like the full. That's full half of the archetypes. Yeah. This time around, you only have spirits and elementals, really.
Right? Which I definitely like because it's definitely. I mean, like there's pseudo tribal. Like equipment's kind of tribal. Blue white metalcraft is kind of tribal, but like at least then it's not as relying on these cards that become useless. Like the problem with Goblin Tribal was they were either really good or like at least playable with goblins, but if you don't have goblins, they're unplayable. Right. Same as the giant cards to a certain extent. Here at least you have like the equipment's going to be playable either way because you're getting a dude out of it or it's going to make one of your other dudes better. You don't need all of the support that you normally would need.
Yeah, you
Here's
can
a question
still...
for you guys. Where the hell is Coral Helm Commander, and why is Surikar Spellblade not just Coral Helm Commander? That's the card it should be.
I did think it was interesting that there wasn't a single level up card in the entire set.
I know, but
they didn't do any Merfolk.
With Proliferate.
Any Merfolk. None of the Merfolk deck is in here.
Nothing about that guy makes
any
sense.
Which could have been
white-blue.
Like, they kind of just cheated and kept Affinity a thing.
Well, I think what happened is they probably had Merfolk as white-blue originally, and then when they were like, Scars of Mirrodin is pretty much all about Metalcraft, and the only two colors it really is good in is this.
Is white and blue.
And
yeah,
so they're just like, I don't know how to have both of these in. If I were to also just pick the wild, crazy reason it might be true, it's possible that they're thinking of coming out, and I don't know how successful the first one was, but they might do it again, is another event deck, a modern event deck.
Merfolk.
And Merfolk is a pretty easy...
That's a good point.
It's a deck that doesn't really hurt anyone's wallet. Like, no one's like, oh, man. Like, the best card they might print is, like, Aether Vial, and they might have, like, one or two. But that's an uncommon that they've already reprinted, so it's not...
The rares are, like, Mutavault and Aether Vial, or, like, the expensive cards.
Yeah, and uncommon.
And then, like, Cryptic Command, which is in this set.
Right.
Some decks don't even play... Some of those decks don't even play Cryptic.
And Cryptic's not, like... Like, if it's just, like, Spreading Seas, the uncommon Merfolk, and... The common Merfolk and maybe a few of the lords and Coral Helm Commanders.
A couple Lord of Atlantis, a Coral Helm Commander. Yeah, that'd work out well.
That's like a $70 deck right there. Like I'd spend $70 and you'd pretty much get your value without like anyone being like, "Oh no, you reprinted Tarmogoyf in a set anyone can buy, and I'm now out $200." Speaking of, no, I don't have anything about Tarmogoyf. But yeah, no, I mean, I think this set's pretty sweet. I don't think that them printing a set like the last one makes sense. I think they wanted to print something that makes sense for the MSRP they're recommending.
Yeah.
I think last time they printed a set and they recommended an MSRP and then it like ended up being worth double that immediately at the gate. And I think that's not what they want. I think that's the opposite of what they want. They want people to buy product for how much they're saying it's worth.
And with that said, this is still a ton of value for your money. You're just comparing it to the most valuable set of all time.
Of all time.
In 2 or 3 years, Modern Masters 2 boxes will be still like $300.
Well, yeah, and I mean, and if you look at, so back to that article I mentioned that no one can read because it's behind a paywall.
But I think it'll be significantly more than $300.
So, but what ended up happening is, like, if you average it out, the prices have already dropped because of spoils. And if you average the new prices out, you get about $10 a pack if you open a pack. Like, the average of value of what can be in a pack is around $10. And that's the MSRP. That doesn't seem like an accident.
Yeah.
Like, Wizards is smart enough to be like, okay, these are the prices. Like, we have enough people working here that can do math. If everything drops 20% like last time, or maybe a little bit more than 20% because we're assuming it'll drop more because we're printing more of it, then it's going to be about $10. Perfect. That's the exact thing we want. All right, print, sold, go.
It seems like there's definitely less cards, though, that you really, really wanted to open at Common and Uncommon and are going to be stoked to have that you're getting in these packs, which is interesting. Just because, like,
there's 25% less.
Yeah, just aside, there's really only like 3 or 4 cards that exist in this entire spoiler that are actually good commons and uncommons, and the rest of them are kind of just limited chaff that we've had for years.
Part of that is also we're really tainted because Mana Leak and Lightning Bolt are tier one cards.
They're
in the top 10 cards maybe of each of their colors.
But they're so cheap.
Right. Money wise, no. But in like importance to have in your modern collection, we've also been playing a while. For a new player, getting Lightning Bolts is not the easiest thing on the planet.
It's like a couple bucks each.
$3 each.
Yeah, like that's not, just go order on the website. And you just get your cards.
Right.
If we were being sponsored by a website, I would direct to a website. But
Ruben, are you sponsored by a website?
Of course not.
Okay, so yeah, no one gets credit. Go to eBay.
I mean, like, I realize people don't have their. I realize, like, you know, if you want your Soulbright Flamekins, you probably have those lying around. But the reality of getting your,
right.
Just kidding.
But there's definitely interesting cards. I think there's a few big misses. I think Serum Visions, something has to come out with it in it. Like, it doesn't make sense. Whoops. It doesn't make sense for them not to print it without any reason behind it because it's so glaringly omitted.
It's like an $8 common.
Yeah. And it's just because it's old, and it's because they banned better versions of it out of the format. It's like the lowest common denominator. It's worth a bunch of money because of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you had to expect they weren't. I don't think this was going to come out. We were all just be like, they just completely nailed it and got every card that we all wanted, the perfect.
Right, but the thing is that was a glaring omission from the first one, too.
Yeah,
so
true.
And it was a glaring omission from Theros Black. They've now had 3 chances to reprint that card that all made sense, and they still haven't done it, and there has to be a reason why.
Paying $30 for a playset of that card is about as bad of the feel-bads as it gets.
Oh, and I did it. As immediately as the set was spoiled, I was like, well, that's the one card I was just like, well, I'm not going to buy it until it's, or trade for it until it's reprinted, because that would be dumb. And then it wasn't reprinted. So it's like, okay, I need to play these for Scapeshift.
Yep. Yep.
All right. So to wrap up, before we get into the ending of stuff, Twitter, we asked a question last episode, what people thought Modern Masters and what they thought about it. And it's kind of a downer. A lot of people aren't super excited. But so, like, Jason,
do they not like fun?
Yeah, I guess they don't like fun. At Jason Reeson said he's glad he didn't pre-order a box, but he did register for a sealed. So he's excited to play the limited environment, but he's glad he didn't just buy it for money value reasons.
Right.
Sure.
The next person, Nick Tapio, who is at Nixie T-Bird, said no Serum Visions in M15 is absurd.
It is absurd.
It is pretty ridiculous. That's the biggest glaring omission for the set, I think.
You know, I'm going to just jump in really quickly. On the notion that, like, he's glad he didn't just buy the box, like, we've all played Magic a long time. When, other than Modern Masters 1, do you ever buy a box to open it for value?
That's
not
right.
No, you don't do that. That's not how it works. They make the cards specifically in such a way that if you buy it and you open it, you will lose 20%. That's just the way that the cards are sold.
Well, it's not even how they're sold, and it's not how it's designed. It's how the economy of it works. Because if it was more than a box, stores would just open boxes.
Right, exactly. That's
until
why
it's no longer worth that much.
That's like when people are like, I don't know why I don't just open this. It just makes no sense to me. It's like, why would you ever do that? Just play limited.
Right, which is what this set was made for.
Yeah.
At Durkoke XXL, Merlin, we talked to him last week.
Merlin's a good guy.
Merlin's awesome. I'm very excited for all the Phyrexian Mana stuff. So here's a positive one, because I stupidly traded those when they came out. Also, thanks for mentioning him. We mentioned you again.
I love Phyrexian Mana. I'm with you. On board.
Yeah, I think that it's kind of they could have put the blue-red elementals in the last Modern Masters and then had Storm in this one, and it would have made a lot more sense because you have all these Phyrexian Mana free spells. But,
right, but
you know,
it didn't work out because
hindsight
whole
being 2020. But yeah, I'm super excited that we get Phyrexian Mana. And like our conversation earlier about Delve, Phyrexian Mana falls in the same category, which is whenever you make things that cost reduce at all, period, you need to decide if you're going to ban them. Like 20% of all Phyrexian Mana spells and 20% of all Delve spells are just completely broken.
Right. I don't know what you're talking about. Delve's a terrible mechanic. You'll never see play.
Oh, yeah, no. Delve isn't even magic.
Yeah, yeah.
Delve is like, all right, I'll turn my library face up and you just vomit things onto the board.
Yep.
And your opponent's like, all right, second land, go.
But that's that tenuous relationship that design has where they're like, we want to make something that's exciting to you guys because you're going to see the power level being pushed and we're going to sort of give you the unfair way of playing Magic that you sort of wish we would, but we have to make it, you know, right on the edge because they don't want to just make boring things.
So, now we're done with Twitter. We did last week say that people should review us, and people did, and there was actually a winner, and there was controversy last week, because we said that BachWiz, who is our friend Austin, was the last reviewer, but ended up, he somehow has hacked iTunes, and he will be forever the last person to review. He's still at the bottom. I don't know how he did it, and it's weird that we know him, but actually... eBird Cubed was the 20th subscriber based on dates or reviewer. So he gets a pack out of a pack bag we're going to send him. Last week, we also promised that the 21st one would get it also. And since we flubbed, you'll also get it. And that goes to MJ6.
And that goes to BachWiz? How?
He's doing it.
Well done, both of both. So what kind of pack do they get?
It's a grab bag of packs that aren't in standard. So we bought a bunch and it'll be.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, some of them are not as expensive as others, but
there's a couple Modern Masters one.
Yeah,
in there.
And there's like a few Modern Masters too. Yeah.
All right.
There's some sweet stuff.
Especially, yeah. So they'll get something cool. Reminder as always, and as we said last week, the every 10th reviewer on iTunes gets a pack out of this cool pack bag. We bought 10 packs and they're in a bag. So that every 10th pack, you get a thing on the review thing until we hit like 120 and then the bag's out. So that'll happen.
that's fair.
Please follow us on Twitter and tweet at us. We are at the MMCast. I am at Kes Wiley.
I'm at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
I am at Mox Ruby, MoxReuby. It's a pun. You can follow me on Twitter.
Also, tweet at us about the question I'm going to ask you right now. Are you going to GP Vegas? And if you are, do you want to hang out?
Because we want to hang out.
Because we want to hang out with you guys. We'll be slinging spells all day at the tournament.
We'll be wearing 10-gallon hats. Wait, I made that
no
joke
10-gallon hat. You made it last week. That joke has been overdone. All right. So, yeah. Thanks, guys, for listening. And we will – thanks, Ruben, for coming on. And we will –
thank you, guys.
See you guys next week.
Yeah, thanks for coming by, Ruben.
Yep. See ya.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to the mmcast@rocketjump.com. See you later, alligator.